the opportunity to use a simple blood test to detect more than 50 different types of cancers has just the huge opportunity to really democratize cancer screening and bend the cancer mortality curve at a population scale.
Welcome to AI for Pharma Growth, the podcast from pioneering pharma artificial intelligence entrepreneur, Dr. Andre Bates. This show aims to demystify AI for all those in biopharma, from startup biotech right through to big pharma. Each episode focuses on all things AI and future tech related to help pharma execs to navigate through the and benefit from the sometimes confusing but magical world of AI-powered tools to grow and get real-world results.
Today, cancer is a leading cause of death worldwide, and that's in large part because there's no screening available for the vast majority of life-threatening cancers. As a result, cancers are detected too late when outcomes can be fatal. Guideline screening does save lives, but the challenge is that there's only about five cancers that that's available for, and they have to be tested one at a time. Whereas cancers that are responsible for approximately two-thirds of the deaths from cancer have no recommended early detection screening. And as we all know, if it's caught early, the outcomes are going to be much more favorable. The challenge is people don't seek help until they have symptoms, and why would they? However, that may change with the company I'm speaking with today. I'm with Jeff Venstrom, who is the Chief Medical Officer of GRAIL, a company whose mission it is to detect cancer early when it can still be cured. I'm so happy to have you on, Jeff. I came across your company last year in Las Vegas at a conference and was so impressed with the kind of work that you guys are doing. Could we start with you telling me a little bit about your background and how you got into this and what led you to GRAIL?
Sure. Thank you, Andre, for having me today. Again, I share your excitement for this technology, and that's why I'm here at GRAIL. So I'm a medical oncologist by training, so I've really seen directly the impact of the leading cause of death that you described, cancer, on patients, on families. And I'm also a clinical researcher too, and I've been following both the genomic field and part of the genomic field and new technologies and trying to do everything I can to rapidly translate those to significantly impact patient outcomes. And so what brought me to GRAIL, which is what we're going to talk about today, is this huge movement and revolution in how we think even and now actually act on cancer screening. And we'll get into the details around the Galleri test that is now available for clinicians to prescribe. But the opportunity to use a simple blood test to detect more than 50 different types of cancers with a simple single blood test has just the huge opportunity to really democratize cancer screening and bend the cancer mortality curve at a population scale.
Yeah. How did GRAIL actually begin? What led the team to found the company?
It's a fascinating story, and actually not that long ago, so only in 2014, at Illumina, actually, where they had developed a prenatal testing, a blood test for abnormalities such as Down syndrome, wherein the blood test would detect abnormalities of DNA in the blood and predict whether or not the fetus in a mother was likely to have a chromosomal abnormality consistent with Down syndrome, for instance. And among this population that they were studying, they identified some abnormal DNA patterns that were not consistent with a neonatal chromosomal abnormalities like Down syndrome. And these individuals, these women were healthy, but 10 of them actually ultimately ended up going on to develop cancer. And so it was this big aha moment that this simple blood test that looked at patterns of abnormal DNA in the blood, initially designed to detect abnormal fetal DNA, could actually pick up very, very early signs of asymptomatic cancers in these women. So with that aha moment, the birth of GRAIL was established in 2016. And ever since, there's been huge investments and research and development in trying to develop, validate, train, and then ultimately launch this blood test that we now call Galleri today.
I actually read that Jeff Bezos and Bill Gates were early investors in GRAIL. Is that true?
There were some big names and big investments because, again, this is a population scale impact and test, right?
Yeah.
And so it needs to be big investments in order to rigorously discover, validate, and develop this test, and then to launch it, initially in the United States and then across the globe, at population scale. So absolutely, I think this aha moment that some very savvy investors like Jeff Bezos, as you mentioned, could appreciate kind of the future impact and now the real term, the real life impact of this test.
I've actually read quite a bit about your Galleri blood test. So it can detect over 50 types of cancer, 45 of which don't have any screening available today. And you have a really low false positive rate, which is really nice, and one blood draw for all of them. I actually had a meeting just before this with someone from Novartis in the US, and they were telling me that, and it was the head of oncology, interestingly, and they were telling me that everyone at Novartis is offered the Galleri test, which is really nice to see companies taking that up. I was really impressed. Could you tell me a little bit more about the Galleri test and how it works?
Yeah, sure. So just first on that comment around Novartis, and we're so excited that some of these huge employers are really, appreciating the value of this test and then partnering with us. I think, again, every week I get notifications of new partners, new employers that have partnered with us. I think we're at up to 30 plus different employers like Novartis who really appreciate, the wellness of their employees too.
Yeah.
The impact of this and want to be offering more than what exists right now, particularly when it comes to cancer screening, which, as we continue to anchor to is a huge cause of death for our population. And so very innovative, forward-thinking companies are starting to offer this as a no-brainer benefit to employees. And then getting back to your question around specifically how it works. So again, it's a simple blood test. You have to just go into a phlebotomist. It's prescription only. So you do need to talk with your doctor about kind of your risks for developing cancer, your eligibility for this test, which we define as greater than the age of 50, which has a significant impact actually on an individual's risk of developing cancer. And B, just have that conversation around what's the implication of getting a positive test result, for instance, and what's the implication for other cancer screenings too. Where are they in their mammogram screening? Where are they in their colonoscopy? So it's really important to have that conversation with your primary care doc when you're thinking about this test around other standard of care screening tests, because this is not meant, to be clear, to be a replacement of a mammogram or colonoscopy. This is to be a complement to those existing cancer screens, and particularly because we have the ability to detect those unscreened cancers. So when you go in to get your colonoscopy, for instance, you're just as likely to be, you're even more likely actually to be at risk for another cancer, not colon cancer, when you're being screened for that one cancer.
Yeah. So
that's the big idea. And the way that this works is through those years since 2016 of the aha moment in developing and further validating this test, the team had looked at multiple different ways to slice and dice the DNA that we all have in our blood.
Yeah.
To really pick out that needle in a haystack and to identify abnormal patterns of DNA that are consistent with a pre-symptomatic cancer and anchored to this methylation platform, where a specific way to detect abnormalities of DNA in the blood that is common, that is fundamentally based on a hallmark of cancer that all cancers share. And so it's a common cancer signal that is reflected in the DNA that is circulating in these individuals that have cancer.
Interesting. And so you detect over 50 types of cancer. What kind of general areas of cancer do you detect?
Well, again, because it's based on this, you know, hallmarks of cancer and a common cancer signal, we think we could probably detect all cancers. We haven't you know, been able to really identify or have cohorts where you have these very rare cancers, but because fundamentally it's based on this common cancer signal. So we're picking up some unusual, you know, sarcomas that have no standard of care screening, head and neck cancers, pancreatic cancers, cancers of the cervix, cancers of the anus, all types of cancer that, again, currently do not have standard of care screening mechanisms for individuals.
Really fascinating. What about the clinical studies that you've conducted? Could you tell me a bit about those?
Huge investment in our clinical development program. And so we have more than 330,000 individuals in our trials across 8 different individual trials. I want to highlight maybe 3 trials that are most relevant among that huge investment in clinical development. So we really, again, take scientific rigor, clinical validation very, very seriously when it comes to launching this test that's going to really, you know, transform how we are screening individuals for cancer. And so the original study, we call it the ATLAS study, or the CCGA study, a lot of that work is already peer reviewed and published. That was really kind of a lot of the discovery work and validation to try and anchor to which type of genomic test we would use for detecting the abnormalities in the blood. That's some of our pioneering early work. That's peer reviewed. That's out of the ATLAS study, around 15,000 plus individuals. The Pathfinder study is the first study of around 6,600 individuals, where we did a return of results to an ordering provider. So that was our first really real world clinical implementation study. And those data have been presented in multiple abstracts earlier at the American Society of Clinical Oncology. And then most recently, just last year, the end of study results at the European Society of Medical Oncology. And that was also a foundational study, not only for us, but really for this field of multi-cancer early detection, wherein we were able to demonstrate first and foremost the safety of this, that we didn't have any serious adverse events from getting this test or getting the diagnostic tests that follow this initial screening test, that we were actually picking up real cancers that do not have currently available screening tests, that are highly lethal, that the majority of them actually were early stage cancers. So that's the other key piece that you mentioned. We know that the conversation with the patient is very different when you have stage 1, stage 2 cancers, that you're pursuing curative intent therapy rather than palliative therapy. And so we're picking up a lot of early cancers. Of course, we also pick up late stage cancers, but again, these are asymptomatic late stage cancers. The ability to jump on those treatment paradigms and prevent or delay the development of symptoms among those more advanced stage cancers that we're finding. And then the other study to mention too is just our NHS gallery study that we're doing in the United Kingdom, which is our clinical utility study among 140,000 individuals, a randomized clinical trial, pragmatically partnering with the NHS in the United Kingdom, where we'll get more results on the specific clinical utility of this test.
Wow, that's really cool. And how do you employ AI in the analysis of the blood results?
So in 2 ways, really. One is to detect, again, what's abnormal, patterns in our DNA that's circulating in the blood, what's abnormal versus what's normal. So that's one application of AI. And the second application of AI for this simple blood test is to try and predict where that cancer is coming from. So it's really, really important for these blood tests to not just say that you have a signal or no signal for cancer, and then to further go on to that diagnostic workup. But we use AI specifically to return to the ordering provider and to the individual the prediction of where that cancer is. Is it coming from the lung? Is this signal coming from the lung? Is this signal coming from the head and neck? Which can importantly differentiate and identify what diagnostic workup should be happening next. For instance, doesn't make sense to get a CAT scan of the chest, or doesn't make sense just to get a CAT scan of the head and neck, because our cancer signal of origin or the AI that's applied to those abnormal DNA patterns suggests that the cancer signal is coming from the head and neck. neck, and you don't necessarily need a whole body scan, but a very targeted imaging procedure for that area where we think the cancer is coming from. So those are the two applications of AI for our simple blood test.
That's a really good idea to do it that way. So where does it get employed? So I know that at the conference I went to, some insurance companies are actually getting people to have the test. And now we've seen Novartis as an example and big employers starting to get people to do the test. Is there any other areas that it gets? So can Joe Blow just go to their doctor and, you know, ask for the test?
So yeah, we launched it in the United States only, right? So it's not available globally yet. And we're working on trying to expand access to a broader population, but it is available by prescription in the United States. And there's really, you know, three primary paths. You've mentioned the employer path, getting it essentially from the employer. We also have a telemedicine portal that helps individuals that don't have primary care docs, for instance, connect with a primary care doc, have an engagement around their risk for cancer, their eligibility for this test, and then get a prescription through the telemedicine portal. And then a prescription from, you know, any licensed U.S. provider. So going to your primary care doc, they can write a prescription for this Galleri test. So that's how individuals are getting this test currently.
When do you think it will roll out to other countries like the UK, Europe, Japan, et cetera?
Probably not for a couple of years. Yeah, again, okay. I think that's something that we're still working on. Lots of interest. We're still a small company, you know, of just around 1,000 individuals and growing on a monthly basis. We have great ambition, right? I think the need is huge across the globe. We're just not there yet.
Yeah. Well, I'm in the UK. I'm looking forward to having it one day. Have you got any examples of individual lives that have been saved by doing your test?
Absolutely. And we can share some of those patient testimonials that we have. You know, I can think of, you know, 8 individual, you know, patients just recently, you know, one with early stage pancreatic cancer that went in for, again, curative intent surgery for this early stage pancreatic cancer. We've seen a lot of actually head and neck cancers, again, because of, you know, the importance of, because of the lack of screening that we have for head and neck and how much more common it is. And how many still kind of smokers there are out there that potentially are at risk for head and neck cancers in addition to lung cancers. So we can send you more of those and actually even connect you with some of the patients and the patient testimonials that we have that have had that real impact.
That would be really interesting. I'd love to see that. That would be, it's nice to see those real life stories because it really brings it home, doesn't it?
It really does.
Yeah. Are you thinking of maybe integrating, well, something that I thought of, one of my friends is an architect and she is designing homes in England now in London that have AI in the bathroom mirrors that are, you know, doing diagnostics and the toilets do urine and feces analyses and it reads out to a dashboard. They're expensive homes, but, but it will come down. But I'm thinking as homes start to become smart, it would be really interesting to, because I know there's Q Health. I don't know if you've heard of them, but they have like a little system that you do a blood test in the home and it will do diagnostics. It would be really interesting to integrate your test eventually over time with these kind of smart homes and digital tattoo diagnostic kind of things that are happening.
I love the idea, and that's the beauty of this test is that it is a simple blood test and it has the opportunity to not only be in these expensive homes, but really democratize screening, because what we have done, which is somewhat related, and I love that future vision, I think we'll get there, but that's definitely, you know, in the future state, is, you know, remote phlebotomy. So sending, you know, a nurse phlebotomist, you know, to very rural areas or to folks that can't get out of their homes for some reason, or just, you know, have a difficulty getting to tertiary care cancer centers or even a primary care doc, draw the blood and then send it back to our lab. We have mobile units actually too. So, you know, essentially big buses. You've probably seen them in the United Kingdom. We have 6 of them in the United Kingdom where we can park them out in front of, mosques, and someone can go after church, and go right back, right into the bus, get your blood drawn and have that cancer screening, test done at that. We can put them in very remote areas of farms. You mentioned urine too. We're evaluating kind of the added value, added value of looking at urine in addition to blood. We'll actually have some new data coming out in a couple of months at one of the American Society of Clinical Oncology conferences, where we show some of the data that we have looking at urine. So yeah, stay tuned, and lots of, I love the futuristic idea that you have there.
I like the urine example because it's easier, because anyone can take a urine example, sample. Yeah.
Right.
So that's very cool. I'm really curious to hear when, you start to publish that data. Mm-hmm. So what's next for Grail?
Well, as I mentioned, we're looking at multiple different ways to, to make this product even better. I mean, you mentioned already that our positive predictive value is really, best in class. Because we're capturing multiple different cancers, we're able to get the highest positive predictive value compared to any single cancer screening test, available today.
Yeah.
But we're always constantly looking at ways to improve it. So whether or not it's new machine learning algorithms on the AI side, whether or not it's new compartments, like the urine or sputum or different areas, whether or not it's new components like proteins, because we're only DNA based right now, or RNA, those are what, part of our innovation roadmap that we're working on currently, that we can talk about, in future iterations as we get more data. We want to initially also, we have a whole, product pipeline too. We'll be launching a new minimal residual disease. So among individuals that already have diagnosed cancer, we plan on launching a minimal residual disease test based on the fundamental biology and platform that we have, but applied with, really great clinical sensitivity for tracking an individual's tumor. And we think we also have, ongoing studies and different applications among symptomatic individuals. So, again, as a clinician, you see folks that come in with unexplained weight loss, fevers of unknown origin, you're scratching your head, you do all these diagnostic workups. We think there's opportunity to apply this platform and this blood test to individuals that, have symptoms and you don't know what those symptoms are coming from. Could potentially be coming from cancer. And so that's also that type of kind of application of this technology in very different areas of medicine is part of what's next for Grail.
Wow. It's just the sky is the limit with Grail by the sounds of it. It's amazing what you guys are doing.
It's so much fun to be here. It's such a great technology, such a great company, fantastic cross-functional mathematicians, clinicians, scientists, brilliant folks here. It's a blast. I'd love to have you come out and see our labs and take a tour.
Yeah, it sounds amazing. Most of the people listening to this podcast work in pharmaceutical companies. So for anyone who wants their company to actually take this Grail into the company so that everyone in the company can have the Galleri test, if you go to grail.com, you will be able to find the people to reach out to, and you can get in touch with Jeff and the rest of the team and find out a lot more. Well, thank you so much for your time today, Jeff. Really, really fascinating. I think it must be so exciting to get up and go to work every morning.
It really is. It was a pleasure. And thanks so much for your interest.
Yeah, it's really fascinating. I can't see anyone who wouldn't be interested in this. It's amazing. So thank you so much. And I really appreciate your time.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Thank you. You too.
Thanks for listening to this episode of AI for Pharma Growth. If you have received huge value from this show, or maybe this episode has highlighted how you can use AI in your company, then we would love for you to support the show by leaving us a 5-star rating. Please make sure you hit the subscribe or follow button on your podcast app now to make sure you never miss an episode.